Welcome to Listen 2. This is Ted. The news was published on Wednesday, October 2nd. Joining us today are Eric and Kate to discuss a fascinating new study on hurricane impacts. Let's dive right in. Today we're discussing a new study that suggests hurricanes contribute to thousands more deaths in the U.S. than previously reported. Let's start with the main findings. Eric, what's your take on this?
Well, Ted, I've got to say, this study's claim of 7,000 to 11,000 deaths per tropical cyclone seems way out of left field. We've always had pretty solid death counts after storms hit. I mean, it's not like we're living in the Stone Age here. This feels more like fear-mongering than actual science to me.
Oh, come on, Eric. That's complete nonsense. This study is a real eye-opener.
Hold on a second, Kate. You can't just dismiss decades of...
No, you hold on. The official count of 24 deaths per storm is clearly inadequate. This research is showing us the bigger picture that we've been missing all along. It's not fear-mongering, it's reality.
But Kate, how can we trust these numbers? They're talking about deaths 15 years after a hurricane? That's a stretch, don't you think? It's like blaming your bad hair day on a butterfly flapping its wings in China last year.
It's not a stretch, it's thorough research, Eric. The study accounts for long-term effects like economic burden and infrastructure damage. These aren't just numbers pulled out of thin air. They've done their homework, unlike some people I could mention.
Interesting points, both of you. Let's dig into the methodology a bit. How did the researchers come to these conclusions?
Well, they looked at death rates in counties before and after storms from 1930 to 2018. But here's the thing, Ted. Correlation doesn't equal causation. There could be a whole bunch of other factors explaining these deaths. It's like saying ice cream sales cause shark attacks just because they both go up in summer.
Oh, for heaven's sake. The researchers controlled for other factors, Eric. They considered population changes and seasonality. This is solid science.
Now, wait just a minute. You can't just wave away all criticism by saying they controlled for factors. We need to know exactly.
No, you wait. This isn't some undergraduate project. These are professional researchers who've spent years on this. They've thought of the things you're bringing up and accounted for them.
Still, attributing deaths 15 years later to a hurricane seems far-fetched. We need to be cautious about inflating numbers. It's like blaming your midlife crisis on that time you skinned your knee in kindergarten.
It's not inflation, it's uncovering the true toll. The study shows deaths peak 6 years after a storm and don't normalize for 15 years. That's not random, Eric. It's a pattern that tells us something important about long-term impacts.
Let's talk about specific impacts. The study mentions certain groups being more affected. Can you elaborate on that?
They claim Black Americans are 3 times more likely to die, but this could be due to other socioeconomic factors, not just hurricanes. It's a classic case of confusing correlation with causation. We can't just assume the hurricane is the main culprit here.
That's exactly the point, Eric. Hurricanes exacerbate existing inequalities. The study also found higher risks for people over 65 and infants. It's showing us how these disasters...
Hang on a second. How can infants be affected by a storm that happened before they were
even... If you'd let me finish, I'd explain. It's about long-term effects on mothers and communities. Stress, economic hardship, and lack of healthcare access all play a role. These storms don't just blow through and disappear. They leave lasting scars on communities.
Let's consider a historical context. Can you think of a similar situation where we've underestimated the impact of a disaster?
The 1918 Spanish flu pandemic comes to mind. Initial death counts were low, but later research showed millions died worldwide. It's a good example of how we can miss the big picture initially, but that was due to lack of data and communication, not long-term effects.
Exactly. And more recently, look at the death toll controversy after Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. It's a perfect example of how we can undercount disaster impacts if we're not careful.
The Puerto Rico situation was different. That was about immediate aftermath, not long-term effects. We're talking apples and oranges here.
It's still relevant. Initially, only 64 deaths were reported, but later studies found thousands died due to the hurricane's impact. It shows how narrow thinking can lead to massive undercounts.
Can you explain more about the Puerto Rico situation and why it's relevant here?
In 2017, Hurricane Maria devastated Puerto Rico. The government initially reported 64 deaths, which was widely criticized as an undercount. Later studies did find more deaths, but we're still talking about a time frame of months, not years.
Right, and subsequent studies estimated over 3,000 deaths. It shows how official counts can miss the bigger picture. just like this new study suggests. We need to think beyond
But those studies looked at a shorter time frame, not 15 years like this new one. It's not a fair comparison. We're talking about completely
different. The principle is the same, Eric. Both situations show we need to look beyond immediate direct deaths to understand a disaster's true impact. It's about recognizing the ripple effects that continue long after the storm has passed.
How did the Puerto Rico situation change our understanding of disaster impacts?
It led to more scrutiny of official death counts, but I still think 15 years is too long a time frame to attribute to a single event. We're stretching credibility here. At some point, we have to draw a line and say, this is no longer related to the hurricane.
It opened our eyes to indirect deaths, people who died due to lack of electricity, medical care, or clean water. This new study is taking that concept further. It's showing us that these impacts can last much longer than we previously thought. And that's crucial information for disaster planning and response.
Looking ahead, how might this research impact future hurricane preparedness and response?
I think it could lead to unnecessary panic and overallocation of resources. We should focus on immediate rescue and recovery efforts. You know, the tried and true methods that we know work.
That's short-sighted, Eric. This research shows we need long-term support systems for affected communities, especially vulnerable populations. We can't just swoop in, patch.
But resources are limited. Extending support for 15 years after every hurricane isn't feasible. We've got other
priorities. It's about recognizing the long-term impacts and adjusting our policies accordingly. We can't just rebuild and forget. That's how we end up with these hidden deaths that the study is uncovering.
Let's consider two potential scenarios. First, if we accept these findings, what changes might we see?
We'd likely see bloated disaster budgets and resources diverted from other important areas. It could lead to crying wolf and disaster fatigue. People might stop taking warnings seriously if we're always in disaster mode.
No, we'd see more comprehensive disaster planning. Better healthcare access, mental health support, and economic assistance for affected areas. It's about building resilience, not just responding to crises.
That sounds expensive and impractical. How would we determine who gets long-term assistance? Where do we draw the line? It's a slippery slope.
It's about creating resilient communities, Eric. The cost of not acting is higher in terms of lives lost and economic impact. We can't afford to keep ignoring these long-term effects.
Now, what if we maintain the current approach of focusing on immediate impacts?
We'd continue with proven, efficient disaster response methods. Immediate aid where it's needed most, without overextending resources. It's a pragmatic approach that's worked for decades.
We'd be ignoring the science and leaving vulnerable people to suffer. This study shows our current approach is inadequate. We're basically burying our heads.
But we can't base major policy changes on one study. We need more evidence before overhauling our entire disaster response system.
This study is based on nearly 100 years of data. How much more evidence do you need? We're talking about saving thousands of lives. Every day we delay is potentially costing lives.
Well, it's clear this study has sparked a heated debate. While Eric cautions against overreaction, Kate emphasizes the need for a paradigm shift in disaster response. This conversation highlights the complexity of the issue and the need for further research and discussion. Thank you both for your insights today.